on to the second half, which is tips for participating in events. So if you don't want to be a moderator, but you want to be a creator for events, here's some things that you should know diving into that.
The first is to know your own limits. For instance, like y'all, I hate check-in forms on events. It's a personal thing. I just really hate it. I know they work really well for other people, but for me, they kind of shame me into going at a pace that I don't really care for. And I get really anxious and I kind of half-ass the forms anyway. And it's not really a great idea. And so I've had to stop doing events with check-in forms. It's that simple. They work for other people, but they hinder me. And so I just remove myself from those spaces. Also, like there's other things like that too. There's particular platforms I hate engaging with. And I've tried a couple events that use those platforms, and you know what? It's way more stress than it's worth. So I'm just gonna remove myself from those event spaces. My limits are not only my time, which we'll get to in a second, but like what I want, how I want to create and how I want to move about and how I want to engage with fandom. And I know Farrah feels the same way.
Yeah, your limits can, you know, your word count limit, say, for an event doesn't necessarily have to be the limit of how much you can write in that period of time. It may be how much of your word count you are going to write in that time that you want to be contributed to this particular event. So my average for a month is much, much, much more than I'm willing to commit to an event that will take a month, because I need to be able to write on multiple things at once. And so some of those words have to be going towards other things. So I will always make sure that is a fairly small percent of what I know I can create, so that I have that room to breathe inside it and that room to be a skanky hoe, which I am with my whips.
You cheat on a lot of whips.
I know.
That's for sure.
It's true. I own it. I know myself. So know your limits.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I live in Ontario, and there's the slogan for the Ontario lottery, like the gaming association, like the lottery association, whatever it's called, is know your limits, play within it. And I hear a lot of like ads with that. And so every time I've heard you say know your limits, I have to say play within it in my head after.
But like, that's a great fandom principle too.
Yeah. Know your limits, play within it. Thank you, Ontario.
Thanks, Ontario. And obviously, like, fandom life and offline life don't always get along. So make sure you know what you've got on your plate when your deadline rolls around. If you know, for instance, that, like, you have a massive report due for school the same day as signups or claims, like, maybe give this event a pass. Like, it's okay. There will be more. So kind of just be realistic with yourself. Don't give yourself a hernia for a thing that honestly is a hobby.
There's also sort of a tendency, I see this a lot with people who are getting excited and getting involved in fandom at the beginning, no fingers pointed, where they see a lot of events and they want to sign up for all of them. So they start to accumulate them, and there's sort of a snowball effect. And then you hit a point where you're suddenly like, oh my God, I have 18 different things all for events that I'm supposed to be working on. And even though they all have different deadlines, there's like a period of say 5-6 weeks where they all heavily overlap and you're not sure which one you should work on. It's fairly common, usually leads to event burnout, where then you go for a while without doing events at all. And maybe that's something some of us have to go through, but maybe my warning will help as well. Sometimes that happens. So keep an eye not just on how much you can handle each individual event, but the cumulative effect of doing multiple events in 1 year.
And if anyone heard that really passive aggressive tone, that was addressed at me.
I would never.
Never.
I would never.
I signed up for my first bang last July. I think I've done 14 events since last July. Guys, that was dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I only mock because I went through the same thing like 3 years ago. So I came out the other side, and now I'm very careful with how many events I do. But yeah, I think I did 18 a year or something like that, and half of them I was modding.
Yeah, I also modded events my first year, which like I learned so much, and it produced incredible content. Those Marvel Happily Ever After events, the Harlequin Hoopla and the Hallmark and the Holiday Movie Challenge, love them. But holy crap, we learned by doing a lot. And if I had had this guide before then, a lot of things would have been different.
Our second tip for participating in events is be aware of how you work with others and know how to communicate that for collaborations. There are a lot of events that have a collaborative aspect, bangs obviously being the most prevalent probably, but there are other events that are specifically designed for collaborations. I know that when I do server bingo events, which I really like to do, I always make the free square a collaboration square because I do want to encourage that. And a free square just seems a little too free when you have a whole server working on one card. Also, as was mentioned before, there's a Marvel Collab Cupid Discord server now, and there's some events that are running in there that are centered around collaborations. So if, especially if a bang is your first time experiencing a collaboration, you should think a little bit about which platform you communicate best on. If you have an email and your email is what the event moderators shared to connect you, but you never check your fandom email, it's a good idea to tell your partner that you never check your fandom email and suggest that perhaps Tumblr DM, Discord, Twitter, something, anything, or give them an alternate email they can use that you do check might be a better option. And if not, perhaps set some reminders on your phone or in your calendar for you to check your email or put on push notifications or forwarding from that certain person so that you know you can stay in communication. The most important part of a collaboration is communication. And even if you and your artist or you and your writer are working on your pieces separately, at the end of the day, it is a collaboration. You are going to come together and share them. And so staying in touch with each other is really important, even just so that your partner knows that it is a partnership and they are supported and you are working on your thing too. And they don't have to worry that they're going to come to the deadline and you've just completely disappeared. So if any of that is hard for you, or if you're excited and want to try it, but you never have, it pays to be really, to do sort of a really critical think about your own communication styles, how often you want to be in touch with someone for something like that, the sorts of things that you want to be group brainstorming versus coming up with yourself. And then when you first get connected with your person, or some events also have an opportunity for you to make this part of the pitch that that person will be claiming, be clear, be upfront, tell them this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for, and then be willing to compromise. So whatever they're looking for, you guys find a middle ground that will work for both of you. It's the nature of collaboration that you may have to do some things, be in touch more or less than what would be your ideal, but the goal of working with someone else is to find something that works for both of you.
We also need to call a spade here. There are collaborations that just don't work out, and that's a piece of fandom that we'd encourage you to kind of keep in mind. You're not the first person to be frustrated with a partner, and you won't be the last. And that's kind of a necessary evil in this way. So don't assume that this is going to be sunshine and roses just because you guys like the same ship. I guess have appropriate expectations as you move forward. There have been beautiful things that have come out of bang partnerships in my life. And there have been some other ones that have been a little bit more frustrating, and that's just life.
So if you're going to, so keep in mind when you're choosing which events you want to sign up for, whether they have a collaborative aspect. And if that's something you're feeling really unsure about, there are other ways that you can try collaborations that are lower pressure, that don't have a deadline, perhaps. Even just meeting somebody somewhere else and seeing if they want to just play around in a dock for a little while gives you an idea of the kind of thing that you're capable of doing so that you know what sorts of events would suit you best.
And speaking of things that sometimes just don't work out because personalities are fun, we'd encourage you to remember that mods are human. Ask questions for sure. I'm a huge fan of questions. And most mod teams I've ever come across are gracious with questions. But it's not their fault if no one reads your story or if your partner ghosts you. It's not uncommon to ask for extensions, but please remember extensions can't be given indefinitely. Mods have a schedule to stick to as well, because as you heard in our last bit, planning events is a lot of work and they've probably carefully timed some of the deadlines. So you may be told that you need to post or drop out, and that may have consequences for future events. As far as we're concerned, this isn't on the mods necessarily, and it should be something that you're aware of going in. Don't count on an extension. This is a kind of an awkward point to make, I will admit, because so many events are so gracious and moderators are willing to give flexibility. But please remember that there's a difference between flexibility and being a doormat, and don't be a dick about it. Like, we're all here to have fun. Just keep that in mind.
At the end of the day, the mods are your fellow fans. Some of them may be younger than you, older than you. Some of them are in school. Some of them have jobs. Some of them have kids. We are all just doing this for fun. And the people who are running events are people just like you who are just trying their best to contribute. They're not professionally trained. They don't get paid for this. Everyone's just trying their hardest. So have a little forgiveness and a little understanding, and hopefully the mods will in your direction as well. Next up is read the rules and regulations really clearly. Different events will have different rules. Don't assume that just because you've done a bingo before, you know how all other bingos will work. Read. And please don't pester the mods with questions until you have read. I can guarantee that you'll read all the rules carefully and there'll still be something that you have a question about. That's just the nature of people, but at least give it a go. Find the information that they have posted. You'll save them a little time and yourself usually a little time too, having to wait for them to get an answer to you. You also want to know if an event is right for you before you even participate. If you disagree with the core values, you want to create something that isn't allowed, or you're going to need an account somewhere that you don't have or don't want to get, or then it might not be the right event for you. So read everything that they have before you sign up and decide if it's what you want. Again, just because it looks similar to other events you've done, almost every event is run by a different group of people, so it may actually turn out to be quite a different event when you actually get down to it. So read carefully, get an idea, look at the other things that were posted for that event as well, and decide if it's the right event for you.
Finally, this is a harsh truth. Don't count on events to get you exposure. This is sometimes hazy because depending on fandom, like events draw readers, but then there's so many works submitted that even dedicated readers can't manage to make its way through things, or you happen to have to post one of your bang fix on the day that AO3 is not sending out emails. That's one's a little fresh. It's hard because yes, you can read through a whole bang collection or read through an entire exchange collection as a fan of that particular ship on AO3, but it's hard too. Additionally, if you're asked to post your entire long fic at once, like a lot of bangs do, or you're in some sort of exchange that's anonymous in pre-reveals, you can actually kind of take a hit on the exposure. So this is one of those that's a bit of a double-edged sword. Yes, it's entirely possible that this event will get you more exposure, especially if you write rare pairs. But it's also entirely possible that you will get completely buried by the very nature of the event. So just be aware, I guess.
There's actually some semi-complicated AO3 factors that can come into play as well. If your fic is being posted on AO3 for an event, sometimes you post in advance of when the fics will actually be made public, especially for exchanges, because the mods have to review everything first and make sure that none of them violate the exchange request. And then days or even weeks later, your post will actually go live. And that means that it'll miss hitting the feeds. So if you follow Tumblr feeds or if you use RSS feeds at all, and it won't show up at the top of the newest first sort on AO3 because it was invisible when it was actually posted. And you can go into the fic, as many of these types of events will remind you to do. You can go in and change the date, but even doing that usually posts you as the first fic on that day. And if you're in a big fandom or popular fandom where a lot of stuff gets posted, or if a lot of people are changing their date, you can still get pushed to the bottom of the page. So in terms of exposure, there's some AO3 things that come into play if you're posting on AO3 that mean that your fic could, while it gets exposure through the event itself, it misses out on all the natural exposure that AO3 provides.
So to reiterate what we said before, events are about love. They are being pushed out of your comfort zone, or about connecting with other fans and feeling like a part of something. Perhaps they're about making new friends or writing a ship you've never written before, or engaging with an art medium that you've never done before.
Or getting a blackout on a bingo card.
Or being emotionally gently manipulated into getting blackout on a bingo card your podcast partner.
Guys, she's so excited to do this.
I'm just nervous I won't get it done.
We'll clink our badges together with our wine glasses.
Oh, done. But fundamentally, and we would argue that this is the same thing for anything in fandom, it's not about getting fandom famous.
So none of what we've said on this little mini episode was meant to dissuade you from joining or running events, which I hope it didn't sound like that, but we mostly just wanted to give you some guidelines to get you started so that you don't get yourself into a place where you're unhappy or uncomfortable. Because we're here in fandom to have a good time. You know, Flame and I are all about promoting nothing but joy, joy, joy with fandom. And it sucks, honestly, to get involved in an event situation on either side of the desk where instead of giving you joy, it gives you stress. You don't want to wake up and be scared to check your Discord or not want to look at your email because you know that there's a drama happening. So this is just some limitations to keep in mind, whether you're participating or running, to make sure that events are always a positive thing for you.
And we are actually actively talking about running a couple events, and we talk all the time about participating in them, not just this infamous Tony Stark bingo. But events are a big part of our fandom experiences too. And what I said earlier about protecting you from our mistakes was serious. We've both hit event burnout. We've both been in awkward situations. We've both made mistakes, and that could have been prevented with some clearer questions or some more strategic relationships. And so we're hoping that this kind of guidance, as frank as it was, is a helpful guidance as you think about your event life moving forward.
So if you want to find out where you can participate in events, then we think the best place to start is our events forecast that happens every time we record. We also post a full transcript of the events forecast on our website every time we post. So if you'd rather read it and find the links, you can hop over there. You can also look at Marie's blog, which again will be in the show notes and is in the show notes of every episode that we do, and see all of the wonderful things that she's reblogging. There are so many Marvel events out there, and the barriers for participation are all over the place. So whether you're someone who wants to write 50,000 words about your specific ship and get an artist to draw for you, or you want to get a bingo card and make 3 different doodles, there is something out there for you, and we hope that you'll find it.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us for this mini bonus episode. We'll see everybody next Sunday for episode 8. You've been listening to Pod on the Suit. Thanks for joining us.